where we read Parshas Noach, the Noach, the story of Noach, the Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, that Noach really was not such maybe a great tzaddik because he wasn't makar of everyone in his door. He didn't go around trying to bring everyone back to make them follow the will of God. He just let them be what they did. And the Chazal seemed to say that that was not a correct thing that he did. And also this past Shabbos, Parshas Noach, was the International Shabbos Project, where many places around the world had those who are not observant try to bring them in. It started in South Africa, tried to bring them in to bring them under the wings of the Torah. So the question I thought we could deal with is there such a mitzvah to do this? Is there a mitzvah for what we colloquially call kiruv? To go around to people who are not frum, or not yet observant, and try to bring them in and make them frum. So we all really live in a society today where that is, you know, it's just understood. Of course you try to be makar of people. But it used to be, and those who are old enough to remember will tell you, that there was no such idea of like, let's go and do kiruv with people. In Europe and many places, the approach was, they're not frum, shine, they're not in the community. That's the way it is. The idea of having like a kiruv movement really only started after the Six-Day War in 1967.
Lubavitch had it before.
And Lubavitch had some before, right? But there was the main idea of really having this. So the question is there such a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah to care about people that are not observant and to care to bring them in? Do we have such a chi of an obligation? So everyone usually quotes the mitzvah, the concept in halacha of kol yisrael arivim zeh lazeh. Someone asks you, what does that mean? Kol yisrael arivim zeh lazeh. What does that concept mean?
Attached.
Huh?
We're attached.
Meaning what?
Or responsible for each other.
What does that mean, responsible for each other?
Oh.
Very good. So kol yisrael arivim zeh lazeh mainly means, that's what we'll see, mainly means that we, the Jewish people, are like one body and we're responsible for each other's missteps. Right, the Torah tells us in the klalos, in the curses, the Torah tells us that will be with us. It says, "V'chashlu ish be'achav, v'chashlu ish be'achiv, k'mipnei cherev, v'rodeif ayin, v'lo siya lachem tekum lefnei aveichem." Each person, each Jew will trip over his brother like people trip over by the sword. So, what does that mean? We'll trip over each other. So the Gemara tells us, "Masecha Shavuos v'chashlu ish be'achav b'achiv, ish ba'avon achiv." The Gemara says, "What does that mean? That the Jewish people will trip over each other's sin, meaning one person will sin and another person will be tripped up because of that sin." Melamed says the Gemara, "Shekali yisrael arivim zeh lazeh." We learn from here that all the Jewish people are ariv to each other, meaning they are relying upon one another. They are involved with one another. They're integrally connected between one another. So therefore, one person sins, the other one will trip because that's what Rashi explains. Ish ba'achiv, Rashi explains, when the pasuk says ish ba'achiv, it doesn't mean, you know, over, ish b'shvil achiv, meaning because of what another Jew does, therefore we are responsible for what they do. So from this Gemara, there is a seeming, halacha, that we are responsible to make sure no other Jews are sinning, because if other Jews are sinning, so we're responsible for it. So each part of the body, right, you can't say, that's the mashal, you can't say, my right hand doesn't care if my left hand gets cut off, because I have a right hand. No, so obviously the right hand wants there to be a left hand also. So that's what the Gemara is saying, mechashlu ish b'achiv. We have to make sure that no other people are necessarily sinning. But the Gemara makes a condition for this halacha. The Gemara says in the fourth source, "Hasam shiyesh biyadam limchos velo michu." When we were speaking over there about the mitzvah about the requirement of kol yisrael arivim zeh lazeh, it meant when we have the ability to be mocher, we have the ability to stop other people from doing what they did. Meaning, let's say I'm living here in the United States, and someone in, I don't know, Zimbabwe, a Jew in Zimbabwe, is doing a sin. So I have no ability to know about it and to stop it. So the Gemara already says there, that is not a part of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Lazeh. If you're in your town, and something is going wrong, and someone's doing something wrong, and people are violating the halacha, so then, that is when there's a kind of Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Lazeh. But if there's no ability for me to be mocha, for me to do anything about it, that whole concept will not apply. Mocha means to stop. What? Mocha, yeah. To stop, to make a protest against it,
I thought it means that if you read, you will not be able to do it, you'll do it anyhow.
Okay, so that's going to be already, that's not the Pashpasha in the Gemara. Pashpasha in the Gemara is that you don't have awareness of it.
So
Rabbi Laufer makes a very important extension. That's what we're going to see some of the poskim say later on. Even if a person is doing it, let's say in your town, but you don't have an ability to stop them, meaning they don't care about the Torah. The Aruch HaShulchan already writes it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, obviously the whole mitzvah of tochacha, of telling people to not sin, or of being mochem, that doesn't apply on someone who has no, meaning you'll tell them. But the Torah says it's wrong. So the guy will say, I don't care what the Torah says. Well, who cares? Meaning, what's the Torah? So it could be on such a person, as we're going to see, maybe that whole concept doesn't apply. Maybe there's no Kol Yisrael Reiv Mazel Azan, someone who doesn't care at all. Right? So the Rambam codifies first the simple halacha. The Rambam says, HaRoach HaVeiru Shechata O Shehalach B'Darach L'Tova. Someone that sees their friend that is sinning, or they're going in the wrong direction, they're going off the derech. Mitzvah L'Achzir L'Mutav. There is a mitzvah to bring him back to the correct way. Ulo Dio Shechote Al Atzav Masavarim. And to show him, and to tell him, you are sinning with what you're doing. So that's a simple halacha. Kol Yisrael Reiv Mazel Azeh. Seemingly there should be a mitzvah of kirov. That's the mitzvah of kirov. You have to go around and make sure people are doing the right thing. But there is a very important discussion that the post can have. That's what we hinted to now before. Maybe this whole halacha only applies on what we would colloquially call frum Jews. Maybe a Jew who doesn't care at all about anything that it says in the Torah and has no involvement in it, and the fact that there is a book that says something and there's a halacha that says something has no difference to them, maybe Kol Yisrael Reiv Mazel Azeh doesn't apply at all to them. Maybe there's no mitzvah at all to care what they do and to stop them from what they're doing. So where do we find this verse? It's already found in the Gemara. Gemara discusses in Maseches Bava Kamma a very interesting case. The Gemara says there were those people, what they used to do is when they had their fields, the farmers who had their fields, they're very frum, so they would mark off what sets of crops were under what status. Under crops, you said a number of times, there's a number of sets. There's Orla, you have to wait 3 years before you eat. There's Kerem Revai, what you have to do in the fourth year. And these things are not allowed to be eaten. So they would mark off where they were in order that people who were coming through the orchards, who might take from it, wouldn't accidentally, let's say they're gonna take from the Orla. And they're going to eat it. So someone who eats Orla is Chayiv Misa Bidei Shamayim. They're liable to the death penalty by heaven, right? And we don't put them to death in Beis Din, but it's very bad. So they were so frum, they cared of people so much, they would mark it off so that people who might take it wouldn't necessarily eat it. So the Gemara raises the issue, aren't these people stealing? When they're coming in, and they're taking from the field, right? They're stealing when they eat the Orla. It's not theirs. So why do we care and we're marking it off? So the Gemara says they did it nonetheless. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai, so Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says a very interesting opinion. Yeah. But they're stealing b'mezin. No, you say, oh, they're eating the Orla b'shogeg. Yeah, but so that's the point. They eating Orla b'shogeg is still very bad. It's violating Yisrud HaRaisa. Fine, but b'shogeg, you still have to bring a carbon if you eat b'shogeg. So the point is they wanted to save them even from that. From violating b'shogeg. That was the point. So the Gemara says, when do we say this thing of marking off? B'shviyas, the hefker ninu. You only need to do this when it's shviyas, in the seventh year this year, when everything is hefker. We've said many times, the fields are all ownerless. So when they take it, they're not stealing. But in the other years, in the other 6 years, famous three words, haliteu l'rasha v'yamus. Feed the Russian and let him die, Gemara says. Don't mark off. This guy is choosing to go into a field and steal. Haliteu l'rasha v'yamus. Let the Russia feed the Russia and let him die. Very strong words, right? So the Gemara says here very clearly, this is what we're going to see in the postgame. Gemara says very clearly, if someone is willingly violating the halacha, knowing that it's wrong, so not only do you not have a chiyuv to stop him, let him do it. Let him do it and kill himself. That's what the Gemara says. Haliteu l'rasha v'yamus. So the question is, and that's what the post we're going to deal with. How do you remedy the situation? If you have one, seems that Allah says close that you have to stop people from sinning, and you have a responsibility for every Jew. How can the Gemara say there's Jews? Let him die. Let him eat the oral and die. How do you? What's the difference? What would you say would be the practical difference between these two? What would you say? How could you make a Talmudic chakira, a Talmudic difference between these two points? So the post can explain, this is what's going to be the general approach. Post can explain, it's a difference of mezid and shogeg. Purposefully violating the halacha, and unwillingly violating the halacha. Now what does that mean, to purposely and unwillingly? Meaning someone doesn't know. Shogeg means, I don't know this is the halacha. Or I don't know today is a day I'm not supposed to do it. And I'm unwillingly doing so. But maybe someone who willingly violates the halacha, maybe then, you know, There's no... Let him. Let him do it. So one of the first people to make this difference is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, V'davka kishabarla, V'davka kishachotea shogeg. If the guy who's sinning is doing it accidentally, shogeg. Aval imel chotea mezid, if the person is bemezid, nehidim ishenu mochicho enonem meshkemoso. For sure, there's no kol yisrael reivim zel azem, meaning you're not going to trip because you didn't stop him from sinning. Because he's willingly violating. It's not your responsibility. Mikol makom overal mitzvah saseh deochiach tochiach v'chayev v'chayev. He says, maybe though, nonetheless, maybe there still is a mitzvah tochacha to tell him he's doing the wrong thing, even though you are not really responsible. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The Shach, who we usually assume halacha is like, the Shach has a very famous comment, which is quoted halacha l'maisa, and it's the follows. So the Shach deals with the following question. The Gemara talks to us about case of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Person is not supposed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Meaning, you're not allowed to tell someone to do something or help them do something, if it's an aveira. So, for example, let's say there's a Jew who says, excuse me, sir, please go buy me a cheeseburger. I would really like a cheeseburger right now. So, lifnei iver seemingly would tell me, I am not allowed to go buy the person a cheeseburger because I'm putting in front of this blind man who's blind to the mitzvah of eating kosher, I'm giving him a cheeseburger.
That's only that for a Jew.
Huh? No, maybe even for a non-Jew. Meaning, let's say a non-Jew says, please bring me that idol so I can bow down to it.
A Jew asking a guy.
No, Jew asking a Jew even. What do you mean?
You said if Jew asks a Jew.
Yeah.
Why does a Jew ask a
guy? Well, meaning, so there's a question. Are Goyim chayev and lifnei iver? Meaning, are they chayev not to put a stumbling block? I believe that is a discussion. That's a good question, yeah.
But the guy can eat the cheeseburger.
The guy can't eat a cheeseburger, yeah, but the Jew can't.
And the Jew's just like to buy a cheeseburger.
What? For a guy? Of course you can buy him. Well, then you're maybe getting... That's another question, because then you're getting hana from Basar B'chalav. Now you're not allowed to get hana from Basar B'chalav. So if you're going to gain something out of buying him, then you have another problem.
He's great for him.
Yeah, that's another...
He's
huh? Yeah, so maybe just bring it.
Maybe. No cheese.
Okay, you have to know. I don't know, you have to know. Anyways, so the Rishonim all explain to say the following. What happens, that's in a case what we call the Gemara calls Trey of Ridinara, two sides of the river. I mean, the classic case is, there's a cheeseburger on that side of the river. The Jew is on this side of the river. I have a boat. He can't get to the cheeseburger. If he tells me, give me the cheeseburger, I have the boat, so I can go get it from him. But what if you have a case of what we call an Alacha Chad of Ridinara, one side of the river, meaning, I'm standing here, 10 feet from here is the cheeseburger. So I'm the non-religious, I can go and pick up the cheeseburger, but I'm lazy, I don't want to go, I say, please go get me a cheeseburger. So I could do it on my own, but I want the other Jew to do it. Is that also a problem with Neiva? Meaning, he can violate the Avera without me, and I'm just being Misayeya, I'm just helping him along. I'm not making it possible, it's possible without me, I'm just helping him along. So would that be then, would it be also there as well? So we shown him point out there, for many reasons, a very lamdish sugya, shown him saying no. If it's chad ibr denara, if it's a situation where the person can violate the avera on their own, without your help, so there's no isser of helping him, bring him the cheeseburger. Bring him the cheeseburger. It's only trey ibr denara. So the shach points out the following. What happened to the separate chiv of stopping another Jew from sinning? Meaning, okay, maybe there's no lifnei iver, but I can't help a Jew violate the Torah. It says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. So the Shach says an amazing chiddush. There is no arvus. There is no chiv to stop a Jew from sinning if he's someone that is violating the Averis anyway, without you. If a Yisrael mummer, someone who totally has turned their back on the Torah, the Shach said, no chiv. No chiv to stop. Look what the Shach says. Yisrael katan ochel nevelos shebeisin mitzuvim lafrisha. Beisin is chayev to stop people usually from sinning. Kosher in Yisrael gadol. Certainly, even someone underage they're chayev to stop a child from eating not kosher. Certainly, an adult. Masha ein kein beoved kochavim beYisrael mummer, which is not the case by someone who is not Jewish or a Jew who has turned their back on the Torah. Sheeino chayev lafrisha. There is no obligation on beisin to stop that person from sinning. So the Shach says. And in fact, Moshe Feinstein was famously asked a question by an owner of a catering hall, where he was asked, there's a person came to him, wants to rent a catering hall, from a guy who owned the catering hall. And at this wedding, they're going to violate a lot of halacha. They're going to serve not kosher, and they're going to whatever else, and they're going to do the wedding incorrectly, they're going to do everything wrong. So he asked Moshe, am I allowed to? Isn't it misayim? Am I helping him violate halacha? Moshe says, no, he can go somewhere else to do the catering hall. This is the case of the Shach. There's no chiyuv to stop him from sinning. And it's not like without you, he doesn't have a catering wall anyway. So let him do it. Rav Moshe assumed. Yeah.
What went on the Shabbos where you had 9 observant people driving to the Shabbos celebration?
Driving on Shabbos?
Are you allowed to invite someone to your Shabbos table?
That's a very good question. You let him invite someone to your Shabbos table if they're going to drive to the table. So this is a big, big discussion. So partly it would be dependent on this question. Meaning, if we assume that he's going to be driving, one could make a case, he's going to be driving anyway. I think Moshe Sternbuch says this from Mishnah. He's going to be driving anyway, so let him drive to your Shabbos table. Meaning, again, there's no chiyuv to stop him from driving, seemingly, according to the Shach. Because he's doing it anyway. So maybe it's adarav, maybe it's better that he should drive. Others say, no, we're going to see.
They're not necessarily going to do it. Maybe they'll stay home.
Maybe they'll stay right. Others say, meaning, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I want to make that very clear. But if you simply look at the halacha like this, you know, I think on a policy basis, it's not right to just invite someone who's going to drive and not, like, offer them, you know. I don't remember Rabbi Mwayu always say, so you offer them to stay overnight. They don't want to stay overnight. Okay, then they don't want to stay overnight. But, you know, it's not right to just, like, say, yeah, come here and drive here and drive home. You know, yeah.
There in the Hearst Synagogue in Tennessee, which is the largest Orthodox in the area, they keep their parking lot.
Yeah,
open.
I know. I know. They're not the only ones. Out of town, that's very common, yeah.
Yeah, no, a lot of places like that, they keep it
so open. Again, that's a question, meaning does a shul.
They'll never come to shul in any case, yeah. They'll be driving around.
But that's a question, meaning does a shul. I'll tell you, I know supposedly when Rabbi Riskin was going to Russia, and he was trying to get Russian Jewry to come to thing, and also Rabbi Rakefet was working with him, was a big rabbi in Israel now, trying to get Russian Jews to come to a shul in Moscow. So a lot of them lived like a whole far from Moscow. So they came with the idea, let's buy him train tickets before Shabbos. We'll give him the train tickets on Shabbos. We'll give him the train tickets before Shabbos, and they'll take the train on Shabbos to the shul. So they went supposedly to Rav Gorin, who's the chief rabbi then of Israel. And Rav Gorin says, boy, you want to make a bunch of Mechalei Shabbos? He said to them. You're gonna teach them to take the train to shul on Shabbos? So he was very against it. Others, meaning Rabbi Riskin, made the entire Lincoln Square Synagogue from by giving them bus tickets before Shabbos. That was his. Unfortunately, he went and knocked on everyone's door on the Upper West Side, and he gave bus tickets to come to the. And then eventually, he was able to convince many people to start walking. So whatever. Meaning, there's what to say. I'm not saying that, but meaning policy wise, it's never good for like a shul to endorse driving on Shabbos in any way. Meaning, there's a very good case being made, even if less people are going to come to shul, not especially in today's times, not to endorse Chil Shabbos.
Because you show that not to endorse Chil Shabbos.
Because it also people also respect when some people show, you know, this is what we believe in. You know, that's why I tell you, Rabbi Brander, when he became the rabbi in Boca Raton in the 80s, so he told us part of his contract when he signed there was that a month before he came, the parking lot originally had been open, was the parking lot would be closed. He didn't want to be the one to close it. He didn't want it open. And he didn't want to be the one to close it. And Boca ended up growing after he came. Meaning, the opposite happened. It grew instead of shrinking. Right? So a lot of times people respect. So you show Shabbos. Shabbos is important. Right? Yeah. Okay.
In the source 8.
Yeah.
I don't understand the distinction. Yisrael cut them with a bezdin.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what it is?
And yet Yisrael Mumer. Yeah. How do you find this line Yisrael Mumer?
Well, Yisrael Mumer means someone who willingly violates the Torah without care for what it says.
In general. His behavior.
Yes. Well, and so, and then there's a discussion. It happens to be the Gilyan Marsha in this siman on the page of the Shach says not only that. Let's say you have someone who violates one avera, meaning there's one avera that they willingly violate. They are considered a mummer for that avera. Yeah. So it could be. That's the. Yeah. Fine. Oh, so the why would this take away arvus? Why would this take away arvus? So we don't look inside, but the Avni Nezer addresses the Shach. He was the Sachachav. Avni Nezer points out the Torah tells us. The halacha tells us we're allowed to charge ribis, interest, to a non-religious Jew, Yisrael Mummer. Not all, meaning it could be today's non-religious Jews that are not part of that, but Yisrael Mummer, someone who willingly turns their back on the Torah, could be allowed to charge interest to. So why are you allowed to do this? The Ramban explains, because they are not considered achecha, your brother. You're not allowed to charge ribis towards this to your brother. But they're not considered your brother, because they have taken themselves out of that parsha because they started violating the Torah. So Avni Nezer says, if they're not considered achecha, so they're also not a part of the pasuk v'chashav ish va'achiv, that the Yisrael Regim Zelazeh, the Torah says achiv, your brother. So the Rabbi says maybe that's one of the reasons they're not a part of Kol Yisrael Regim Zelazeh. So what do we come out from this whole discussion? He's also right. Huh? Yeah, but meaning if, but let's say they're a general Yisrael Mummer, right? So again, so what do we come out from this? So we come out from this is, remember I did this shach when I was in Rabbi Simon in YU. So at the end of the shir, Rabbi Simon said, Rabosai, this shach undoes the entire Kirov movement. Takes it all away. So it seems from these halachas, right, that why should there be a mitzvah of kippur? If there's no chiyuv to stop someone from sinning, if someone willingly does it, you have no responsibility for them, they're not going to hurt you, right? How come, why would there be any mitzvah of doing kippur? So what I want to show, yeah, what were we going to say? You still get considered a mumr, maybe a mumr l'teyachon, meaning there's two kinds of mumrs. A mumr could be someone that violates willingly, it's a mumr l'hachis, and a mumr l'teyachon is someone who doesn't have anything against eating kosher. They'll eat either non-kosher or kosher. If you put kosher in front of them, they'll eat kosher, but they'll eat non-kosher if you put kosher and non-kosher in front of them. They're both are considered halachically a mumr. Again, we're not going to consider these people to be like apostate. Okay. I mean, the halach is technically, let's say you have an apostate. Someone who really turned the back there and hates the Jews and is malshin on Jews. You're allowed to kill him. You're supposed to kill him. Right? They're mad. So it's very important. It's very important to point out that the post can assume today that the non-religious Jews today, who are in Adar Abba, non-religious Jews today do so much for the Jewish nation. They fight in the Israeli army. And they work for the Jewish people all over the diaspora. It's not like in the old days when the ones who are not religious were the ones that were told to the Romans and told to the kings. And so today they're all considered Tinuk Shenishba. Nonetheless, that would not remove the halacha of them being Yisrael Mumr. That would not change that halacha. We would still consider that to be the halacha. Not that we would be mean to them or be bad to them. There's no chiyuv tochacha. There's no chiyuv tochacha. Yeah, so that's fine. How we would approach him would be considered a tinuk shenishba, not someone who is a willing sinner, but they still would have the status halakha. Okay, fine. So what would be
the happens between the Satmar and Oscar?
What about them?
They don't consider us Jews.
Okay. How would they straighten us out?
No, I mean, according to them, we're not even Jews.
Okay, fine.
So they're not the question of, are we by all this halacha?
So what? So they might apply that halacha to some people, okay. So what is that? I have a very close Amish friend who won't daven in the, should I pause this? Won't daven in the Marav Minyan at YU when he's there because he doesn't know if there's 10 people that don't believe in the Medina, in the Minyan. So he waits to go back to Williamsburg. He davens like 2 o'clock at Puppa, he always tells me. Because he doesn't know. He wants to be sure there's 10 people. There's 400 guys there. I think at least maybe 10 you could have. So, but that's the... Anyways, fine. So, so that's the story. Okay, so my question... The problem is that the mission, Maseches Avos, tells us as follows. The mission says, Hil v'shamei kiblu mehem. Hil omer. Hil said, Habe mitalmidav shel Aaron. Be like the talmidim, the students of Aaron. Aaron HaKohen. Oiv shalom v'rodev shalom. Love peace and pursue peace. Oivis abrios, love people who makarvan the Torah and be makar even to the Torah. So my question is, what is the difference? Right? Why is it that there would be a mitzvah to makar people to the Torah if there's no halachic requirement to stop people from sinning? Right? Some of these people say that, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure everyone keeps Shabbos. So halachically, no, it's not your responsibility to make sure everyone keeps Shabbos. That's not your responsibility. Like if someone is violating Shabbos willingly, that is not your responsibility. Right? Halachically. So, and I think the Teferet Yisrael writes here, how come the Mishnah here said, Makarivis Oivis Abrios, which literally means the beings, not necessarily people? Why doesn't it say Adam, Makariv people? So the Teferet Yisrael says, even if you'll have someone who's not Jewish even, who halachically is not called Adam, so you still have a mitzvah to be makariv them. To be makariv people applies to everyone to bring them closer to the Torah. So why would there be such a chiyuv? So I want to show you the approach, and probably this is the real approach, of why there's a mitzvah of doing any kind of kiruv. And this makes kiruv even more special than assuming it's a halachic thing. The Torah tells us, right, when it comes to a person's ox or their animal being lost, lo sira es shor achicha, os seyo, Nidachem v'salamtem em ashev tashivim lechechev. You see your friend's animal, and it's lost along the street. You're not allowed to just turn away from it. You have to make sure to get it and to bring it back to your friend. V'imlo karav achicha lecha. If your brother is not near you, v'lo yedato, and you don't know what the deal is. V'asavtu also el toch beisecha. V'ayayimach adarosh achicha also v'ashivosulo. You should keep it in your house until he's back and give it back then. So the early Sifrei Musar, see the Shari Tshuva Ben Yonah, already points out, if we are chayiv to care so much about our fellow Jews' belongings, aren't we at least is chayiv to care about our fellow Jew themselves? Right? If the Torah requires us to perform chesed with people's belongings, we don't even know. So a person themselves, of course, we have to do tremendous chesed. So look at the Shari Chuvarit, Rabbeinu Yonah. V'tov v'nachon ma'od liyos b'chol ir v'ir misnadim ba'am min ha'maskilim. It's very good that every city should have people who are dedicating themselves as volunteers, liyos nechonum zumanim l'chol devar atzal, as a rishon, so that they're ready to help people whenever they need. B'yos isho isho miyisrael shurim b'tzar. If any person, if any Jewish person is in tzar, is in, has a problem. The Torah requires us to take a tremendous effort to help the belongings of our friends. To make sure to keep it until we find them. So certainly to those who own the belongings, we have to do such chesed. So the real reason that kirov, I'm not sure even better or chayim after this, the real reason there is an inyan of doing kirov is because it's a chesed. There's no greater chesed in the world than returning a Jew to their Avinu Sheva Shemayim. There's no greater chesed. Not that it's a halach requirement that you are required as a Jew to make halachically to make this person keep Shabbos. But you have to be kind to them. It's not kind to your to fellow Jews to allow them to just, you know, disintegrate into the American landscape, disintegrate into the secular landscape. It's not kind. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And the Or HaChaim writes on the Torah that these psukim are specifically telling us about kirov. The Or HaChaim writes, "Parsha zo ba lirmos v'praktis chiyav atochos shetzrichin b'nei kelchai tzadikei olam lasos la'am Hashem." These psukim are specifically telling us about the responsibility of Jews and tzadikim to help those who need to be brought back to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'omro nidachem. The Torah says, "Lost along the way." Al derech omro v'nidachta v'shtachav Yisraelim. The Torah also says, when the Jews went to worship Avodah Zarah, it says v'nidachta, the same word. They were lost. They went lost. Sha'over piyashem mikonidach. Someone who violates what God says is considered lost. V'yitzav Hashem l'bali salim. Hashem is telling us, don't turn away from such people. El yashivim la'achav. Return them to their brother. Who's their brother? Hu elo ke'olam. That refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omrim lo'kar b'chicha. The Torah says, let's say your brother isn't near you. Bazeh eir ki hu medaber azman ha'galus ha'achron. The Torah is talking about our galus, our exile, the last galus. The Torah tells us that when you're in this galus, so this galus, God is not very, you don't feel God near us. Only Hashem knows when it's going to be in. And the natural result of such a situation like we have in our exile, where things are so difficult, is people leave the path. That's a natural result. He's writing the 1800s of our Chaim. He says, as we already see in our generation, how easily people leave totally any kind of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im kol ze yitzav Hashem. That's what the Torah says here. Va'asavta l'toch beisecha. Bring the animal into your house. Meaning, ze beis hamedrash. So first the beis hamedrash. V'yilmedu orchos chayim. Teach him the way of life. V'derech yishkon or l'bal yitem meni orach. V'loim tzeyu oivav. V'machshavos hataonos kozos ki or Torah yatzaleu. Don't let him just struggle with his amunah and struggle with his doubts. And struggle. You have to bring him in. Talk to him. Be kind to him. And that's why the Torah says, until your brother is there to find it. Meaning what? Until Hashem comes for him. The Torah calls such a person that cares about another Jew to do that, it's as if they found this lost object and returned it to its owner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not halachic. It's hashgacha. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's my point. My point being that one can make a very good case that halachically there is no chiv of doing kiruv. And that was certainly the minhag of the Jewish people in Europe. And look, in Europe, a lot of people were not shomer Shabbos by the time of the war. I mean, some people say the majority. Meaning, a lot of people, there wasn't like a thing of like, let's go and try to bring them back. It was a foreign concept to do such a thing. Even in the after the war, that was a pretty foreign concept, except for a few groups. So, but the point is, because halachically you can make a case, there is no chiyuv to care about such people. The fraya, we don't care. But the Torah tells us so, and that's what the Shari Tshuva points out. There's a mitzvah chesed, and part of the mitzvah chesed to another Jew is to teach them the correct way, right? A Jew has to act kindly to people. It's not kind to other Jews to say, they can be in their own way, and I respect that. We shouldn't respect people. We should respect the people. We shouldn't respect that Jews want to violate Shabbos. It's something, right? We have to care about them and show them what the correct way is. That's the mitzvah chesed. And the Gemara tells us, Masechta Sukkah. What does it mean when we say in Ish Chayil, her mouth opens with wisdom, and there is a Torah of Chesed, a Torah of kindness on her tongue? So says the Gemara, V'chiyesh Torah shel Chesed, V'chiyesh Torah she'ena shel Chesed. Is there a Torah that is a kind Torah, and Torah that's not a kind Torah? The Torah says, that the pasuk specifically says Torah es Chesed. Ikadamri, so the Gemara explains. Torah lamda, if a person teaches to the Torah to others they know that don't know it, Zoe Torah shel Chesed. That's a Torah of Chesed. Shalol lamda, if a person knows the Torah and doesn't want to teach it to others, Zoe Torah she'ena shel Chesed. That is a Torah that lacks Chesed. So the point is, right, a Jew is required with the Torah they know to act with Chesed with their Torah to teach others about it. This is the real mitzvah of Kiruv. That's the mitzvah of Kiruv. The mitzvah of Kiruv is much greater. It's a volunteer work, like the Shari Tshuva said, misnadvim. You can make halacha case. I don't need to go. I don't need to care about them. I could stay at home. I could do my own thing. I don't have to care about anyone. But that's not the proper way. The Torah says we have to act with chesed to others. We have to volunteer our chesed to help other Jews that are lost. So I put in finally just a letter, perhaps one of the first letters that talks about Kiruv. Cook wrote. So in the days when Rav Cook was the chief rabbi, so that was a pretty tumultuous time in the '20s. So everyone went off the derech. It was like, you had the greatest rabbanim in the world, everyone off the derech. It was just, you know, everyone became socialists and communists and Bolsheviks and everything, they all went off the derech. So Rav Cook has a letter that was written to him by a rav from Europe. And he says, his sons all went off the derech. And he feels like terrible, he doesn't know what to do, and he's thinking, he's asking Rav Cook, you know, should I just like cut them off? Which is what most people did then. Hashem Shabbat, get out of my house, cut them off. So Cook writes a letter back, and you see here, in addition to the very interesting ideas Sir Cook writes here, you see the vision he had. He was the first guy in Kiruv, before Lubavitch ever did Kiruv. Rav Cook was into doing Kiruv. So Cook writes as follows to the guy, Kein Yedidi, my dear friend, Hinini Mevin Harbez Dabon Lavavo, I understand the pain that's in your heart. Avalim Yachshav Kvo Torah Saharama, Karav Hamon Alomden. But if you, my good friend, think, like the majority of the learning population, meaning the frum Jews think, Sheroy Bismana Zelazo Lehefker, Es Otsum Abanam Asher Sarum Idarche Ator Vemuna, Al Dizerim Azmana Soar, if you are going to take the approach, like most of the religious Jews today, to abandon totally the children that have went off the derech because of the tumultuous political times they're in, Hinani Omer Pem Malay Shelozo Aderech Asher Hashem Chafetzba. I say to you, with complete confidence, that is not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm skipping after the parentheses now. And after the parentheses, after even the period, after the parentheses. In the end of the last two words on one of the lines. Hey, manusim gemurim. These boys, your sons, are total anusim. It's not even by their choice that they're off the derech. V'chalilin ladan onis karatzim. We can't treat them like they're willingly wanting to violate the Torah. Al-Kain, yesh mikolil achas v'tikva. There will be hope even for these children. Ha-neshama ha-penimis shel kedushas Yisrael mistateres bekerev avavam bekamidos tovos hanem telos behem. They still have the holiness of a Jew which you see come out in the good midos, the good characters they have. V'kol ikar mashi yachla ha-risha litvos osam belibam hu gam kein mitzad nitiyasam ha-penimis tov v'chesed. And even the fact that they go off the derech, that going off the derech they're doing is out of their goodness in their heart, right? Why did the people become socialists? Because they wanted to make a good world. So technically, right, that's like a good desire. That's a Torah desire to want to make a good world. Al kein kasher tziel if neem es rava avel anaser besidri amedinos lefi ashkafos nasu loch melaklal. And so therefore, when they're seeing all the injustice in the world, they want to fight for the people, which is good. Avo bishem tom bazel gamu mitzir tzedadim. Even though, parenthetically, they're happen to be sinning. Mikol makom if shalodamos usam l'rishayim ha'holchem rak acharei tavasam ha'behamis be'en shematarash liyosher. You can't compare them to people who are complete evildoers that are just doing this out of an animal desire to sin. Ve'imlo nidcha even acharei nofum ke'ela kim nekarum kviyacholos. We shouldn't just throw a rock on top of them now that they ran away to kill them. We have to go after them. Az kasher zerem hazman ishapich v'akirus ha'taos ha'gedola ha'nemtos b'ikar rayon. Therefore, when the world straightens out and they realize how mistaken they were, shebishvilu zanchu espes chayim, the thing that they abandoned their home for, you muchanam l'tshuva l'tava. If we're nice to them still now and we connect to them, once the time comes, they'll be ready to do tshuva. V'hadoros habam yuchshur al yedezel yosram v'nel amod. And then the future generations, it'll be even greater than these generations because they'll all be bali tshuva. Machzikim b'teferes Yisrael or Hashem Amir b'kerev b'chol cham ba'oz. And then they will be really enlightened, more than we are, he says, to doing the Torah. Al kein ledati, atzasi l'chvodo, my idea, my advice to you, she'om nam yoser mikfi cholaso, vade en shum chiyav l'hamis alatzmo. More than you're able to do, he says, you don't have to do. You don't have to go out there and make sure they keep Shabbos, the cook says. Aval kamish yesh l'cholos b'yado, yekarvim b'tziyua l'tzorchei parnasasam, v'tzorcheyam ha'machrocham. Help them out when they need a little help with their parnasam, when they need a little practical help getting a job. Help them, be kind to them. V'yiyabaz lo bazem, makom la'biya divrei musr b'seich al tov mechtavim. And then, when you're connected to them, be able to stick in a little bit of musr, a little bit of advice in the letters you write to them. Ubris krusahi l'dvarim hiotzim en aleiv. The Torah tells us that there is a sureness of things that come from the heart. Shehim po'alim harbim v'ma. Things that someone speaks from the heart, they always work, if a little, if a lot. Aval gam miyahu ma'ahu yakar modin. Even the little that they'll do, that's very dear. So if Cook writes here, and that's the main point, what's the mitzvah of doing kirub? The mitzvah of doing kirub is you're supposed to be kind to people. You're not supposed to be mean to people. It's being mean to a Jew to abandon them. You're not supposed to abandon another Jew. Halachically, you can make all the cases in the world for abandoning Jews. You can make all the cases halachically. But that's what we call a menuvel b'shus haTorah. Someone who finds a reason in the Torah not to do something and they don't do it. The Torah requires us to act with chesed to those who are misguided. To act with chesed to those that don't know any better. So the mitzvah of kirov, while not a halachic thing maybe, is an even greater than a halachic thing. It's the tremendous mitzvah of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires us for. Go ahead.